SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back, hour two, at the races, and Labor Day, Monday, Johnny D joins us. Johnny, good morning.
Stevie, I said to Casey, I almost said Happy Memorial Day. I meant Happy Labor Day, but I wish it was Memorial Day.
Well, if it was Memorial Day,
then, yeah.
Well, I was going to say it would feel like Groundhog Day if we went back if we wound this thing all the way back to Memorial Day.
Other than missing the Breeders' Cup and Thanksgiving, other than those two, I'm okay with it. Let's start the summer right now.
I hear you. Nah, it's nice though. I like getting to the fall. Especially. You know, those of us that live in the Northeast, when you get the leaves. In fact, Patty Reynolds, I think I mentioned this the other day. Patty took a picture, and there were some leaves blowing around at Saratoga, out in the paddock area, in the paved paddock area, not in the saddling paddock. And it really is kind of funny because we get to. You know, September, really, right away, and we get some cooler nights. It's funny that we're going to have a kind of a summery day to close out the summer. But it was an unusual, at least here, it was an unusual summer. And we had some difficulties through that middle portion of the meet with the wet weather. And I think for some people, it kind of knocked them sideways, Johnny. And some people did not recover in terms of their play from... You know, some of that either frustration or some of that lost continuity.
Well, we talked about this a little bit earlier this summer when the rains were a problem. And first of all, you have races coming off the turf, which you know we discussed back and forth. And then what happens is when the horses run back, and you're looking at muddy or sloppy performances, and you don't know what to do with them. You know, you've got that quandary of, you know, did this one move up in the slop? Or let's take a very current example of your previous guest, Gary Contessa, Tippecan Harbor. You've got a race move from turf to dirt. She wins by 17 at a $180 to 1, and no one cares about her. You know, her next start, which is in the stake, she goes off at 16 to 1. So, you know, you're confused by what. Not confused, but you just don't know what to do with an off-track performance, a race that comes off the turf that's then scratched down to, you know, six or seven. You just don't know what to do, especially in the case of young horses. So, it's hard. It's difficult. It's difficult. The form becomes more clouded than it normally is. And believe me, for me, at Saratoga, it's normally pretty clouded anyway because it's a tough meet to handicap. And, you know, in this case, I think it was extra tough this year.
Some highlights or, you know, some post-Travers. We talked, obviously, Monday after the Travers weekend. And that, you know, that weekend was actually, I thought, in some ways mirrored again Saturday with Yoshida winning the Woodward. Here's another turf horse where you had to make that determination, the same kind of discussion we had going in with Catholic Boy. And if, especially in a bulky field, it doesn't get bulkier than 14 when it comes to this kind of a, you know, this kind of a setting. And you had to really think, do I want 6 to 1, 7 to 1, 8 to 1 on a horse where I don't know where I'm going against Harvey Pack 101? You know, don't bet a horse to do something they've never done before.
Well, I got to tell you, these last two weekends have really shaken my handicapping tenets to the core because I'm a big believer in very few horses can. are excellent on both surfaces. They can be good on one and excellent on another, but I don't believe that they can be excellent on both. I think it's very rare that happens. So what do we have? We have two weekends where grade one races go to horses who are switching surfaces. Now, we saw Catholic Boy run on the dirt before, and his figures seem to me to be kind of equal on both. So there were more questions with him, like actually how good is he in that race? So he had other things to worry about. But the surface switch was a legitimate concern. And with Yoshida, it was definitely a major concern. It looked like, to me, and based on the interview I heard with Bill Mott, they're kind of just taking, you know, they're trying him in there to see if he should like the dirt and run well. It would increase his stud value. He's already worth plenty as it is. This would be a great feather in the cap. He trains okay on dirt. He doesn't dislike it. You know, we're taking a shot, basically, is what I gleaned from Bill Mott's comments. And it's what I kind of gleaned from handicapping. I looked at this race. Why are they doing this? Well, if he should jump up and run well, it would enhance his stud value. By the time the race was over, I'm sitting there saying, you know what? You're an idiot. This is the classiest, best horse in the race, and you just got scared off by it. You should have used him at least. If you didn't love him, you should have leaned on him a little bit, and I didn't. So the last two weekends I've been shaken. Now, coming out of the Woodward, looking at the Breeders' Cup Classic picture, following up, certainly Catholic Boy is related to this conversation and the three-year-olds. I just think maybe these guys aren't that good, that our older horses just, I mean, Diversify certainly deserves to be mentioned at the top of the list along with the recent winners. But Yoshida dominated this group, completely dominated this group. Great ride by Joel Rosario, and big weekend for him. But Yoshida dominated them. And Catholic Boy completely dominated the Travers Field. I'm looking, and maybe this was a field where, while we had deep contention, a lot of horses, I'm not sure we really had much quality, as they say. You know, after the races, I went back and looked. What Genovera, he's always been okay. You know, he's never been a champ, seeking the soul, a contender in this race. Yeah, he's a grade one winner. He won the Clark. He's okay. So now, post-race, I'm looking and I say, Sunny Ridge, Rally Cry, maybe they just weren't that good. And maybe I overestimated the field and underestimated the winner, Yoshida. Obviously, I did that. But if you look at Yoshida's resume and then you start to look at these other resumes, Imperative, Patch, Taproot, Hence, I mean, you know, if I could have said to myself, and this is all hindsight, 2020, but it's good. It's very educational to go back and review races, especially races where you were wrong. Because try and understand after the race, where did I go wrong? What did I not see before the race that maybe I see after the race? And what I see is Yoshida was the best horse in the race. If he takes to the dirt, he's going to win by 3 or 4, and he took to the dirt. So it makes perfect sense. There wasn't really, they weren't stellar competition. So now as far as the three-year-olds, I don't know if I can make any kind of a statement yet, but the way Catholic Boy dominated that field, just totally dominated them, was it a tired bunch of horses? What happened to Good Magic? I know he's been since sent for some examination or treatment. didn't come out of the race real well, obviously. He didn't run up to his potential. I don't know. Maybe they're not as good as we thought they were. I don't know. But the domination that Caput Boy showed, he certainly came into his own at the right time and took a huge step forward, big leap forward at the right time. And you've got diversified. But after that, I don't know, maybe Baffert will pull something out, maybe a rabbit out of the hat. He's done that before. But really, I think that the classic division, oh, no, you got Accelerate, of course. We have to mention him out in California. I think maybe the classic division's a little light. Or a lot like. Agree or no?
No, it's no. I think we need the Jockey Club Gold Cup and the Hill Prince and the, you know, what's the new, is there a new name, is there a new name for the I'm not going to forget what the American Pharaoh for the front, whatever it was.
Well,
what's the new
the
one?
Awesome,
yeah,
again, the American. Yeah, I'm a little
awesome again. There you now. Go. There you go. Yeah. The American Pharaoh is the front runner. Is now the American Pharaoh.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I want. Let's also see what, you know. I saw Chad Summers yesterday. You know, they're going to the Lucas Classic to see about, you know, potentially running in the Classic. So we'll see. With Mind Your Biscuits, I will let that portion play out.
Yeah, I understand. But in looking back at the Woodward, they did it again. They let the best horse win.
By the way, you made me think of something that seemed to kind of come out without much fanfare, and I was excited because the Magna 5 is coming back. And for those of you that might not have seen
the Stronach.
No, you got to call it. We got to call it the Magna 5, and it would have been a lot more. It would have been more fun if they had called it. If they had said TSG presents the Magna 5, because that still has cachet, at least with me. But on Fridays, starting at the end of September, the Magna 5 is coming back.
Yeah, that's an interesting twist. On Friday, gives you something to do to wind up your work week.
It was smart.
Put together your Stronach 5. I like that. I like that. That's a nice twist. And I think it's $1.
Yep.
Minimum, I believe. Whereas I believe the Magna 5 started as $2 minimum and then went to $1 later. And I believe another difference, the Magna 5 had a guarantee, started off with a big guarantee. And because I remember at the time, making the guarantee was obviously very important. It wasn't one of those guarantees like we have today, where you put it up and the racetrack knows they're going to eclipse it. I mean, they have all this history of what they do on a certain day, what they handle for that bet on a certain day. So they know they put up a $1 million guarantee, and they know the pool's going to be $2 million. So
right.
they have no worries. But back then, there was no pick five. On a general basis. So the Magna 5 really was kind of uncharted way. There's been other bets that have covered different racetracks, but never these kinds of racetracks and these kinds of races. There were wagers that covered pick four wagers that covered stakes races, but never one that covered just allowance and maiden and Laurel and Golden Gate and Santa Anita and Gulfstream and, you know, covered those different tracks. So this, the Magna 5 really was revolutionary. And their allies were all making that guarantee. And but for the most part, we did it. And it really caught on. I know I loved it. I really did. I look forward to it every Saturday. And now we'll be looking forward to the Stronach 5 every Friday. I think beginning September 28th, I believe, is the kickoff event.
And we'll handicap it. The public loves multi-race, multi-track bets, and they're unique and challenging. And I, you know, I remember, we would always handicap it. It also, the other part of it that was a big element of the concept was that it's over in about an hour. That the races are heavily concurrent and stacked at the four venues. And Sal Sinatra, who of course now is part of the Stronach group, Sal took the occasion when the Magna 5 popped. He crafted the 60-minute six, which was a pick six at four tracks. That was a pick six, and that had only one season, but it was also a really, you know, cleverly and well received concept. So this is this is going to be something to look forward to into the fall, and we'll obviously handicap it and play it as well. I hit one of my best multi scores ever was a Magna 5, and had come close, and I would team up with some people sometimes, and had a $17,000 hit on a Magna
Yikes.
5. So I save PPs a lot of times, and I've got them. It might be here somewhere, but I remember the one. There was one that included the Sunshine Millions weekend, Saturday, and the one where Miesque's approval upset Bill Mott. It was the race that was going to be Jerry Bailey's last ride. The Sunshine Millions, whatever it was, the Sunshine Millions turf, I imagine, if it involved Mies. But Mies approval upset, I want to say Go-Between, or some Peter Vegso, Bill Mott, whoever the horse was that was a short price. And that was part of a Magna 5 that was... and I can't remember if that's the one that I hit, but I came so close. My buddy Matt and I, Matt Hooves Upside Your Head, Matt Duggar, yeah, Matt, we would group of us would put together all the time, and I suggest people do that because these invariably will overpay.
Yeah, they usually did.
They outplay the parlay.
Yeah, and I don't remember a specific race, but you know what I do remember from, I think I hit one once. It wasn't nearly the score you made, but I remember, and this will, if you do go in with someone else, a partner, you'll find out how good of friends you are. Because my good pal Will Schwartz, who's still my buddy to this day, he forgave me. I mismarked a ticket. I misentered a number on one of the Magna 5 races, and I think it paid $8,000 that day. And to his credit, he didn't rub it in. He didn't blame me. He took it as part of the game. But I still haven't forgotten it. Mismarking tickets or punching the wrong number. Seems to be a habit of mine, actually, now that I think about it. But he turns them into $9,000 scores. I turn them into minus -9,000, like he did at the Travers when he fat fingered the 12 instead of the 13.
Well, I did something the last two days. I did something that really was frustrating, and that was cross off a horse that I interpreted as scratched. That wasn't, and it cost me. Luckily it didn't. It wasn't a death knell. It wasn't like it caused the missing of a sequence that was monstrous. There actually was one good horse that I some pick three that was a result, and actually the fact that involves that it involved on Saturday the double disqualification, in fact. But Hazim was a horse that Andy, you know, Andy Serling's been doing a great service for players all meet long. He's been sending out the scratches off of the mutual system, off the Naira tote system, and he, you know, he types them up. And it's about an hour before we see it on Equibase and at the Naira website. So it is a big help, you know, if you're trying to plan your race day. And the 9 and the 11 were coming out of a race, out of that race with Hazim. And I interpreted the 9-11 as 9, 10, and 11. So, and I crossed off Hazim, and then of course not only did he run, he ends up getting put up. But what are you going to do? You know, I mean that you can't. I'm not going to. You know, that's my own fault. And then yesterday I did the same thing, a similar thing with Year of the Kitten. Year of the Kitten was listed, but it was a different kind of a change. It wasn't a scratch, and I saw, you know, the few, there were like three horses in a row, and I crossed off Year of the Kitten as if he was scratched, and so he's not in the picks at all. And I mean, I it's just my fault. I just feel badly because people bet, they bet off of what I'm writing up. It's hard when you're, especially when you're running around. You know, yesterday we did the last, you know, last TV.
I have a bone to pick with you.
Yeah.
Because I went to see your picks. I was planning my Saratoga pick six sheet, putting it together, handicapping. And I like to use, and we can talk about this sometime, if not now, we can talk about sometime about public handicappers. Because it's a whole discussion. You know, are they good? Are they bad? Are they whatever? It's a whole discussion. I like to use, whether it's workout information, whether it's public handicappers, I have certain people who I want their opinion. I have my own opinion, but I want to know their opinion because I respect them. So I will go around and see who other people like. And I went to get your opinions, and they were trickling in.
Yes, they were. Like a ticker tape.
I said, what is this guy doing to me? I want them all at once. I can't keep going. Did he put another race up?
That is true. So I know that you actually were looking because what I've tried to do on mornings like today, right now, the pick five, the early pick five is up, and I'll write up the rest after I get off the air. I'm sorry, it gets impossible. Yesterday we had the last TV show. We had Saturday night, Gary Siaka and Josephine. It was their wedding anniversary. We ended up going out to Village way out in Galway. We didn't get home till midnight. I'm up at 5 a.m. We had two horses running yesterday, so we had all kinds of partners in. I got a family, friends from Connecticut. I promised them a chance to visit the barn, so I went in early and brought them to see the horses, on the backstretch. It was like mayhem. And so then I finally, after we ran in the second race, Kid Chocolate, who I was very, it's funny, you go into a day with two first-time starters and expected, we knew that, Kid Chocolate wants it longer, and we weren't sure even about the surface. So we took the occasion to run him 5.5 on the grass. He was terrific. It beaten seven lengths. We knew he was a little short, and we weren't sure about the grass. He did everything right. and then we thought if anybody was going to run okay or good, it was Corporal Magdalena, and she turned out to hate the dirt. Louis Reyes said the minute she got a face full of dirt, she just shut down. So she's a courageous cat, so she'll go to the turf when we go downstate. But so I had all kinds of partners come in for the day, and I can only do so much. And so I finally, after the second race, I was able to get races 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 in. they didn't help running 12 races on a Sunday either. I mean, it's you know how much it's just crazy. It's been good. It's been overall. Got into a very nice flow after about day 10. It took about a week and a half early in the meet, and then really it's been a great 4.5-5 weeks.
Yeah, and I think it's an interesting discussion to have sometime. We won't do it now because we don't have enough time. But, you know, public handicappers, touts, if you want to call them touts, people you buy information from, are, you know, How do you feel about those? Are there good ones? Are there bad ones? Are there, you know, are they worth it? There are a lot of questions. Should you buy information or should you do it all on your own? Should you do it on your own and then supplement your information with other people's opinions, people that you respect? How do you learn to respect them? Well, you know, it's a whole segment, I think.
No, fair enough. It's an interesting topic, and I think a lot of people, you know, will do that. You want to counterbalance your thoughts with people who, you know, whose opinions you respect. And
by the way, before you continue, Steve, I want to say this before I forget. According to a tweet I saw yesterday, I think John Lindo sent it out. Jeff Siegel led all handicappers in the San Diego Union newspaper, I believe, I'm doing this off memory, led all Southern California handicappers at Del Mar for the meet and showed a flatbed profit, picking every race.
That's great. That's
That is an accomplishment, because that is, you're not supposed to ever be able to do that. If you're picking 1, 2, 3, and a long shot in every race for an entire meeting, there is no way you're supposed to show a flatbed profit. And Siegel did. So, you know, we already know that he's the dean of Southern California handicappers, and as Bob Icke responded to the tweet, he's the GOAT. He's the greatest of all time. And this is the kind of achievement that Siegel can accomplish. You know, and Jeff's been around. Jeff was in press boxes before I was even there. So, you know, he's a veteran. He knows what he's doing, and I respect his opinion tremendously.
No, no doubt. I mean, that's one of the shining, you know, consistent stars. That's like a North Star of public handicapping.
And a South Star.
Southern California star. The speaking of star handicapping, let's slip in. I don't want to forget to get to Fun in the Sun. And I gave everybody a little bit of a hint that, you know, we sort of went into the weekend, closing weekend for Fun in the Sun Saturday, expecting, or not expecting, but with a very clear winner and a favorite, and we ended up with some last day board movement.
Yeah, I don't. You know, we went in with Richard Nielsen on top of the board, and he led for just about a month, which is a pretty long time to lead in a competition like this. I don't know. I didn't check inside to see whether Richard even played or not. Maybe he just had a bad day because he earned zero. His final total was $1,017.50. And of course, the top four players, maybe he just had a bad day, or maybe he thought he'd coast in, that he was clear enough, but he finishes second. Stuart Levine won. And I'll tell you Stuart's story in a second. John Keogh went from fifth to third, and he got a seat. The top four players got a seat. So John Keogh had a good day. Greg Knepper held on to his seat spot in fourth. And David Essig earned $47 yesterday in mutual payoffs to just miss winning his seat. He'll get $5,000. But, of course, that seat that we're talking about, top four players, earned seats to the Pegasus World Cup Betting Championship, which is a $12,000 value each. That's a great way to know that you've already got your seat for that event, which is in January. So Stuart Levine or Levine? I don't know which. L-E-V-I-N-E. What do you think, Stevie?
I went Levine. The only Levine I know. You're saying that because you're from Philadelphia, and so you know Donald Levine. But it feels like a Levine. Although he does have okay. He does have Stewart. He's got Stewart spelt with the U A. So a little bit of a curveball.
Oh, okay. All right. So we're going with Levine. Stewart Levine. However you pronounce his last name, and I'm sorry, Stuart, if I'm butchering it. He went last week, he moved from 31st to 4th. And then this week, he went from 4th to the top spot, finishing with $1,020 in earnings. So congratulations to him. He is the Fun in the Sun Express Bet champion this year. Charles Jones won the weekly prize. He had $340.50 in mutual earnings to collect $4,000. Sean Turner, one of our very loyal contest players, $335.50, $2,000 prize. By the way, there's another Sean Turner. There's one in the East and there's one in the West, so don't get confused. This is the East Sean Turner. I believe. I could be wrong on that, too. Russell Benton, $321. $1,000 prize for finishing third. Now, I looked at a few of the facets of this, and it came up with a few facts. We had 19 weekly prize winners. Okay, 19 weekly prize winners. That was including some ties. We had some ties along the way, so there were 19 weekly prize winners. No player won more than one weekly prize. Only one of the top five seasonal finishers won a weekly prize. I find that a little bit amazing. Greg Knepper in week two won a weekly prize with $370.50, and he wound up fourth in the final standings. So only one, so it's not like you had to have this massive day. You had to be consistent. You had to get it done every week. The top player averaged about $145 in earnings per week. So it wasn't like, you know, it was like you could, $145 in earnings, it was $100 to play. There were $10 win wagers in 10 races, costing you $100 to play. So all you had to average was $145 in earnings per week. And that was what the top player averaged. So, I mean, I know I'm saying it sounds like it's easy. It's not. And as far as playing this all season long and earning your money back, which is one of the highlights, 33 players, only 33 players finished above the break-even point, the $700 mark. That gives you some idea of how challenging it is to do what we all do. When we play the races day in and day out, and we buck the takeout, and we, you know, we try and, you know, what's the old saying? I hope I break even today. I could use the money. You know, if you broke even for Fun in the Sun, you were in a very select group of only 33 players. So that's it. We're going to close the book on Fun in the Sun this year. It was a great season, and it was a lot of fun. And maybe next year for those who didn't cash.
Well, appreciate everybody's involvement. Tina made a nice run, and she missed the last 2 weeks. I think she kind of felt that the big prize was getting smaller and smaller out in the distance. So, but she, I give her credit. She made a noble run.
Made a move and then was eased late.
Well, she flattened. She flattened out like catching yesterday. She was. That was a fair analogy. Anything today? Did you have you looked ahead? Nick Tamaro is going to join us. Top of the hour, we'll handicap a lot of the Saratoga action. But anything that you're watching here to close out the holiday weekend?
I have not jumped into it full throttle because, as you said earlier, it gets a little hectic on these holiday weekends. In addition to trying to play this race, that race, and every other race, but I think one thing that was pounded into my thick skull over the weekend was when Eastern horses go west on turf, they do incredibly well. And when Western horses go east on dirt, they do incredibly well, except for, of course, Baffert's one filly. Baffert's other filly did fine. But that seems to be the theme. And I wonder if that's it seems to carry through, you know, for a while now. So I would say Eastern grass form is better than Western grass form. And I would say that Western dirt form is better than Eastern. Just these are wild generalizations, I understand. But sometimes generalizations are useful.
Yeah, it was tough to it was really tough to get overly creative looking at the filly race here on Saturday. And of course you had the small field at Del Mar. You know, we had a bulky field for our running for the spin away, and it just looked you know, like any of the three favorites had it over anybody. And you know, I did throw in the winner, and I didn't bet her to win. Tina did, but I had her at least on Maltese, and it just to elevate horses like that over, you know, over Baffert, over Cassie, and over McPeak. And in this case, it was tough to do. I mean, it just looked, and even based on Toby Terrell contributed from California into the Saratoga DRF Clocker report, and every report was the chasing yesterday came out, not only came out of her, you know, her win well, but she had moved forward. So it was that was a tough find, I thought.
I think in Brill's case also, there was a race where it was a three filly race. You know, it was either a one filly race or I believe a three filly race. If you went Brill, if you said Brill was the nuts, I understand that. But if you said Brill, mother, Bellafina, that was the race. It probably wouldn't be anybody else. And Brill was just, her works were reported as fine, very good, actually. Like, you know, excellent. Just short of excellent. And yet, she turned up flat when the pedal went to the floor. She had nothing and no answer. Maybe she ran too big the first time out. I don't know. 2-year-old filly, maybe it was just too much for her. But since you've shown some adverse effects from it, no, apparently not. And Bellafina, in her second start, she ran a very fast race. In fact, faster than Brill, if you look at tires. So I don't know. It's tough. These 2-year-olds are, you know, a little. The good thing about 2-year-olds is they pretty much run as fast as they can, and they don't have the aches and pains and ins and outs that the older horses do. We don't know what they're capable of. They can make huge jumps forward, and they can take steps back. You know, this game, Steve, it's more and more starting to be like gambling.
Now, Johnny, summer's been great, and we thank everybody for playing. And when it came to fun in the sun, and that'll be fun in leaf peeping season. So look to the fall.
Yeah. Thank you all for playing with fun in the sun. And if you're with ExpressBet, stick with us, please. And if you're not with ExpressBet on a full time basis, I don't know why not.
There you go.
I'm buying.
Johnny, good luck today, closing out the weekend, and we'll talk next week.
I might be disappearing for a while. You may not hear.
You taking a break?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's time. Yeah, after Del Mar, Saratoga is a great vacation time.
Nice. All right. Well,
we'll be in touch.
All right. Keeneland sale next week. No break for me. So.
No, I was going to go, but my funds are a little low. As they say on TV, stay tuned.
Nice. Johnny D, everybody. X-Speed Johnny D. Let's take a break. Come back. We've got Nick coming up and more. And got a couple of other... Got a numbingly sad note from Friday that I have to get to as well. That is... I've been avoiding all morning, but we have to... For those that... I mean, it's certainly Brian Morgan's passing... just as a devastating piece of news that spread virtually to every racetrack, I would think, in the country. A family that, you know, so involved with the racing world and happened to, at the track at Saratoga, for those that have not heard, and it kind of more than a little cast a shadow over the weekend and over the close of the meet. And there's any number of candidates that will come and could visit and talk about Brian, but really not a way that anybody wanted to close out. We had the John Asher passing exactly a week ago, and tomorrow viewing at Churchill, Wednesday the services. They're gonna, if you hadn't heard that, they're gonna take John. John's gonna make a circuit. He's gonna run a circuit of the track, which was really a nice idea. I'll take him around tomorrow, or maybe it's Wednesday, but we got to tell you about Brian Morgan as well. We'll get a chance back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up at ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use Express Fund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're gonna love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired, PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel, and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard, too.
Hi, John Parada here, inviting you to join me in the Dublin Racing Club, along with friends like Steve Bick and Tom Durkin. If you have an interest in Ireland and horse racing, it's the best way to be involved with both. So log on now to DublinRacingClub.com and come join us at one of Ireland's 26 racetracks.
The Dublin Racing Club is designed to introduce racing fans to the ownership experience by participating in the sport in Ireland. For more information on the Dublin Racing Club, log on to DublinRacingClub.com.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
My sweet summer's gone, and on my mind she made it clear her lipstick can't be wrong. My summer, summer, my sweet summer is gone. My sweet summer is gone.
We're back at the races, just about 7-8 minutes to the top of the hour, and to fill out more as we were leaving here in the last segment, and later today, after the third race, after the maiden group. That goes at 1:36 post. Another early post today, 12:30 instead of 1 the last couple of days. And they'll present the meet and awards to Chad Brown and Seth Klarman. And like, if they're doing it after the third, that has them, I'm going to assume that that means that they know that, yeah, that Jose or Rad can't be caught, right? not gonna give him the trophy and then say, oh, wait a minute, taking it back. Brian Morgan is Chad Brown's brother-in-law, and Chad is going to pay tribute to him today. At the leading trainer presentation, he'll have a picture, and Brian just has been on every, I mean, every racetrack you can think of, and Chad's wife Terrell, Brian's sister, and you know, this is a family. Terrell and Brian, the Terrells, the Terrell family, and the Eberts, and just people that have been on the racetrack really their whole lives. And Brian, at just 48 on Friday, and collapsed and died at Saratoga. And nobody could believe it as the word spread. Chuck Simon told me, because I wasn't there at that point, and I got a text from Chuck. I was like, "What are you talking about? It doesn't seem possible. It was so impossible that it happened. What can you say? 48 and." His heart, they say, just had no chance. Just had no chance. Louis Lazanero was by him seconds after he collapsed. And it's just really tragic. And there was visitation yesterday at Tunnison, and just a parade of friends. And I mean, even if you didn't know Brian, you know, personally, I just knew him through the circle of friends, and you know, it just. You knew him when you see the picture. Chad's going to show a picture. I have like an oversized picture to you'll know instantly. Somebody you've seen at the track wherever you go, Gulfstream, Monmouth, Belmont Aqueduct, Saratoga. Wherever there was racing going on, Brian was there and was part of it, and just send out sympathies. And his daughter, he's got an 11-year-old daughter, and Chad himself is going to pay for her education and provide a fund for her, and just generous and kind and everybody, just everybody is really saddened by this. I mean, it's hard. You know, the Asher, you know, the John Asher was, you know, obviously he had the same outpouring and just the same kind of surprise, really. I mean, it's that, you know, just one of those deaths you just no warning and nobody prepared to hear that. So I wanted to make sure that if there's people out there who know you guaranteed you know a Terrell or an Ebert or some member of the family, and just not fair is the bottom line. So I wanted to spend another minute appreciating him. Let's take the top of the hour break. Nick Tamaro is going to join us and talk about how he did over the weekend, what went right, and what we can do to finish up Saratoga on the plus side. Got a little bit of a nice boost on Friday, as it happened. There's been a nice steady, really, the end of the meet here has been just some steady produce. The winner on Friday that I was amazed and was the kind of horse that can really help you make your meet was Stellar Agent. The anchor leg of the pick five early and the pick four. I was amazed. I mean, she was 6-1 on the morning line. She had a very positive pair of workout reports from Mike Welch. And there she is on the board at 12, 13, 14-1. Ended up going off at almost 14-1. And she won easy. George Abreu, who's had just a fabulous meet for Sol Cumin and our friend Steve Lehman. Steve Lehman actually had a winner of one of the stakes down at Gulfstream, too. It was a good weekend for Steve. Roger Kaplan involved and Mark Scheinman, the four partners in Stellar Agent. How this horse went off and paid $29.40, I do not know. And it's funny, maiden races, at least for me, this meet have been really productive. That one was shocking at how well it paid, and the pick four and the pick five paid $1,000 and well over $1,000 and $2,000, so it was a good way to go into the weekend. Let's finish it strong with Nick Tamaro next.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up at ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use ExpressFund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're gonna love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line, 800-522-4700.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired, PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
Hi, John Parada here, inviting you to join me in the Dublin Racing Club, along with friends like Steve Bick and Tom Durkin. If you have an interest in Ireland and horse racing, it's the best way to be involved with both. So log on now to DublinRacingClub.com and come join us at one of Ireland's 26 racetracks.
The Dublin Racing Club is designed to introduce racing fans to the ownership experience by participating in the sport in Ireland. For more information on the Dublin Racing Club, log on to DublinRacingClub.com.